Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you do. You are a very present help in the time of trouble. You are indeed our shelter in the time of storm. And so we are grateful to have a God that's concerned about his people. And we are appreciative that he's a God who visits us in our times of challenge. If you have your Bible, let's go once again to John the 16th chapter. Thank my son for the reading of the text as well as the prayer that was offered. Word up this morning, let me see the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. Amen. Hold it up real good. Just keep it there. I'm coming down. The picture's being taken. It'd be just like that traffic ticket you get when you run through. You know, you'll give you a ticket. You think they ain't looking, but they looking. And then you have to, so if you don't have your Bibles, you'll get a slip in the mail from heaven. And it just might cost you your eternity. So make sure you bring the Word of God to the house of God. Amen. You may put your Bibles down. Somebody said, why do we have to have our Bibles? I'm glad you asked that question. I have more than enough answers. Isaiah 34:16. The Bible says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. None of these will fail you. You need the Word of God. You need the Word of God because you don't know how to live and how to walk. Jeremiah 10:23, the prophet declared, O Lord, I know that it is not a man that walketh to direct his own footsteps. Some of us, if not all of us, need help. Amen. And you need help from God. You need divine assistance. Government means will no longer sustain you. You need help. John 6:45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God, every man therefore that has heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. You must hear and learn. Amen. In order to come to the Father. John 5:39. Search the scriptures. You search the scriptures. For in them you think you have the eternal life. But these are they that testify of me. Amen. And so bring your Bibles. Get into the Word during the week. Amen. I cannot overemphasize, and I would not, as long as I am your minister and shepherd of this flock, encourage you to get in your Word daily. Amen. We are in a spiritual war. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. And you ought to have a war room at the house. Right. Amen. 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 If you didn't know, you just found out we was in a war. Been trying to tell you for the last 2.5 years. And listen, you haven't begun the fight yet. Your fight's coming. Some stuff coming down the pike. Gonna test this church. Gonna test you and gonna test me. Listen to me. We're getting ready to find out who's a believer and who's not. And all this singing and praise, that's one thing. But then you gotta stand. I maintain there are three things a man ought to fight for. Yes, three things he ought to die for. Yes, he ought to die for his faith. Amen. And if it ain't worth having, then get out of it. Amen. Second thing you ought to fight for is your family. Yes, sir. Every man ought to fight for his honey and the little lambs. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Ask the mother bear. Mama bear don't play. Mama bear don't play. She'll tear your head off. Oh, yeah. Fooling with them little cubs. And then you need to fight for your fellowship. Yeah. I'm not talking about potluck. I'm not talking about that meal right before fellowship circle. I'm talking about that time where you and God spend some quality time alone. You can talk to your Father. Because Satan is busy. He has been for the last 6,000 years busy. His agenda has been laid out. So Paul is right. The people of God are not blind. We're not ignorant concerning the schematas. That's the Greek word, the schemes. Yeah, man, he's scheming. Yeah, he's the player. He's the real player. Yeah, he a play on player. He playing. Some of us are walking around here ill-equipped to deal with the devil. And soon as something really go down, you fall down and break up. Well, I refuse. I don't know how much time I got left on the planet. We going out fighting. Not the fight of foolishness, but the fight of faith. Amen. Any warriors in the house? All right, good. Keep fighting. Fight. Fight for your woman. Amen. Amen. Fight for them babies. Fight for your faith. You'll fight for everything else. Fight for something worth fighting for. Don't be standing on the corner shadow boxing. I see a lot. See that every Sunday morning coming to church. Folk out there talking to themselves and shadow boxing. And try. No, no, we know who the enemy is. Amen. Any men of God in the house? Fight. Amen. All right, that ain't even my sermon. That's my battle cry. You know, before UCLA and USC take the field, they got a battle cry. Hey, especially when they have the inner city rivalry. Yeah, they attack each other's stuff. Amen. They meet the day before the battle and get riled up. Amen. Well, all right. John chapter 16. We're talking about the Spirit of the Lord. Been laying out a series of sermons, and I don't want to spend a lot of my time rehearsing what I've been talking about, but let's get to what we're going to be talking about. We're in the second point in your bulletin. The Spirit of God reveals the truth about God, but number two, he reveals the truth about yourself. Yeah. I laid out the foundation from John chapter 16. Jesus says, if I don't go away, you won't benefit. Right. So I got to go away. And if I go away, simply put, I'll send another comforter. Yes. I'll send a helper. Interesting Greek word there. The word another is not another of a different kind. It's another of the same kind. So what Jesus is saying, in my absence, you'll get me. Yeah, that's good. But you're going to get me in the form of the Holy Spirit. And what will he do? Well, we know already that the Spirit, number one, teaches. Is that right? John 14. Not only does he teach, John 15, he testifies. Is that right? And then John 16, he guides. So he's a teacher and a testifier and a guide. Most of everybody needs teaching, yes, sir, so you can testify. Yes, sir. But everybody needs a guide. Yeah. Amen? Amen? And so the Holy Spirit provides all of that. And then there is another aspect of the Holy Spirit we call the ministry, the actual ministry or the ministering work of the third person of the Godhead, and it is the convicting business. Yeah, this text says that the Spirit of God will convict the world. And so he has a convicting ministry. Now understand that Greek word. Usually it's in the verb form. It's not passive. It's active. And the conviction here, the word means to expose, to disclose, to refute, and even to rebuke. And so the Holy Spirit's work in your life is convicting. Now he didn't say condemning. He can't condemn. It would be a contradiction. Because Paul says in the book of Romans, there now, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Anybody in Christ in here? I mean, sure enough, in Christ. I dropped by to tell you the devil cannot condemn you. He can't condemn you. Notice I said the devil can't condemn you, but you can't condemn yourself. Some folk don't even need Satan's help for condemnation. This table, the discerning, the lack of discerning, not just the table, but the body of Christ can condemn you. Understand that. Spirit didn't come along to condemn you. You need to know that. Sometimes we think God is after us. No, God is not after you. That's not God after you. That's the devil. Amen. He's after you. He really the one after you. How do you know? The book says he's like a roaring lion. Your adversary is looking for you to dismantle you, tear up your life. Are you aware of this? You didn't know this? Somebody asked, what, who, devil, who? See, that's another scheme of Satan. He wants to create doubt about him so you won't believe. So now you got two problems. You don't believe in the believer. Now you won't believe in the devil himself, so you're just really in a bad place. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. Satan is your enemy. So the spirit comes along. Watch this now. And this is a powerful work. I'm learning to appreciate the convicting work of the spirit. Because if you will allow him to do what he's supposed to do in your life, then you would be okay with teaching and preaching. Because teaching and preaching is simply a confirmation of the affirming work of the convicting spirit. All I'm doing is affirming what's been confirmed. What's been confirmed? The convicting work of the spirit. Well, what does that word mean? Well, the word there means to expose. You know, when you spend time alone with God, when you're in the word, he'll meet you where you is. meet you where you are, Sister Hawkins. I'm sorry. I just saw some folk that live in my neighborhood. He'll meet you exactly where you is. And then for you intelligentsia, he will meet you where you are. Amen. That's for the grammatically correct among us, for which I am not. Notice what the text says. He'll convict you, number one. Underline that in your Bible. Some of you like to write. Some of you like to text. Close texting and underline now. We're going to have a text-free day one Sunday. It'll be a surprise. I won't tell you. Because if you do, you have to take drugs to stay in service. The book says he'll convict you of what? Sin. And then of what?
Righteousness.
And then of what? Judgment. Okay, we can't preach all three. So I got six sermons. You only get one today. One sermon, 2 points. The first thing I want to deal with is the fact that he'll convict you of sin. Now, let's get it straight. If I were to put this particular text in a kind of argumentative debate state, I would use a syllogism. A syllogism is simply a means by which an argument is developed. It has a major premise and a minor premise and a conclusion. This is for my millennials. Amen. I got to reach them. They smart. My major premise would be, according to this text, that the Holy Spirit has been sent to convict the world of sin. That's the major premise. That's in that text. My minor premise would be, do you live in the world? Or better yet, you are in the world. Better yet, we are in the world. Conclusion, all of us are guilty of sin because we're in the world. That's a good, legitimate argument there. That's syllogistically speaking. But y'all come on, y'all live in my neighborhood. Y'all come on. We're going to get past all of the syllogistic talk, and we're going to talk simply. Simple talk. The Spirit of God is given to do three things in terms of its convicting of sin ministry. Are you with me? The first is to confront you. The second is to correct you. And the third is to counsel you. All right? Are you with me? The convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit in this text as it relates to sin, number one is to do what? Confront. Look at your neighbor. Say, I'm getting ready to be confronted. Now tell your neighbor again, you getting ready to be confronted. I didn't say point. Y'all like, man. Y'all can't wait to get somebody. When I told you to say, we going to be confronted, you're like, we going to be confronted. But then when I told you to say, tell your neighbor you're going to be confronted, you going to be confronted. I have never seen so many points. Man, my whole church needs therapy. One sermon, 1 point. Confrontation. And I maintain, listen to me, because he ain't in the business of condemnation, it's loving confrontation. The Holy Spirit loves you. God loves you. And he knows because of sin you need to be what? Confronted. So he ain't going to send Dottie or anybody by there because he know they going to point their finger at you. Oh, sinner. Where you been? Look at you. You know how you... Look, I smell sin on you. Where you... That lets me know something about you. If you can smell sin on me, you have a keen sensory system towards sin, don't you? Amen.
All of us are guilty of sin.
Yeah, man.
Fundamental text, Romans 3:23. All have sinned. Amen. Don't make me go get another syllogism to include you in all here. All have sinned. Is that right? And come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin. You got to know there's payoff for sin. You're going to get paid. It's a payday for sin. The wages of sin is what? But the gift of God is eternal life. 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says sin is a transgression of what? God's law. Some folk don't know what sin is. Sin is a transgression of the law of God. Amen. And the way you know whether or not you've been sinning is to get into the law of God. Is that right? Maybe that's why David said in Psalms division 119 and verse 11, your word. Notice. Not the church, not praise, not worship, but your word. Have I done what? I've logged it where? Not in my pocket. I got to go get it. I'm not sure about what I'm doing. Wait a minute. If you're in Christ, then the word ought to be in you. Colossians 3:16, don't go there. Let the word of Christ do what? Let the word do what? What did David say he had in his heart? Where was it? It was dwelling where? It was in his hand. That's why he played the harp so good. It was in his hand. That's why he could throw the javelin. It was in his hand. That's why he cut David's Goliath's head off. No, it's in his heart. And the word was there to do what? To confront sin. I have hid your word in my heart that what? That not only will the word confront sin, it'll keep you from sinning. You got power. I'm tired of walking around here just meek, milly, and weak. Just sorry. I just don't know what to do. Power cowboy up! Say amen. I had a bumper sticker. I got a little license plate on my other truck. I got to get it off and put it on this truck. You either cowboy up or go get in the truck. Yeah, that's a little sass among cowboys. Amen. Cowboy up. Look, when you got power, use it. David said, your word have I hid in my heart. Now watch this. Y'all got a minute? One point. The Holy Spirit confronts lovingly. Amen. You know, I'm learning this. When you want to help somebody, you don't do it when you're always condemning. You got to love folk. You got to develop a relationship. You know, my leadership style, hopefully you understand, hopefully I've been demonstrating this, has changed over the years. I'm less confrontational. I really am. I mean, you may not be able to always tell it, but I'm preaching now. This is an expression of my emotion with what I do. I would never run up on you. I'm relational. I'd like to take you out and quietly have a holler at you. Say amen. And so I have changed. I'm learning to be more relational. Amen. But what I'm finding out, unfortunately, some relationships are not cognitively based. You ever be talking to somebody and they just... It's like, man, you all right? If we're going to get help, we got to be sober and present in what psychologists call the right now, the here and now. Because what the Holy Spirit does is that he meets you where you are lovingly. And look what he does. He confronts. Well, somebody says, how does he do that? Two things, very quickly. He confronts, number one, with the word. Amen. And look at your neighbor and say, he's going to confront you. He's going to confront you with the word. Yeah. And go, you ought to go, whew, thank you. Whew, thank you. I'd rather get a word than to have my stuff blasted. Say amen. You want your stuff blasted? You really want your real stuff blasted? Now, God, don't show that. Please don't show that. Give me the word. But But what happens when you don't get the word? Point two, he sent a person. Now, I need you. I'm gonna be quick. I need you to get 1 Samuel 13, verse 8. I need you to go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. I need verse 1. I need verse 7. And I need verse 13. You, 1 Samuel 13, and we're going to start at verse 8. Now, before we go there, but I want y'all to stay there, I got to deal with the word. The first way he deals with you is through your word. Do you not know if you got to wait till Sunday to get a word, you in trouble. But if you would etch out some God time every day, God will meet you right where you are. Do you, brethren, have that little book Francis gave us for Father's Day? Do you be used? Are you using it? It's called devotional 1 minute. Do you have 1 minute? 60 seconds. 1 minute. Life is like a minute. There's 60 seconds in it. Thrust upon you. Didn't choose it, but it's up to you to use it. Suffer if you abuse it. Give an account if you misuse it. Only 60 seconds in it. But eternity is in it. A minute. God confronts me every day in that 1 minute. My son is reading it, so we have something to talk about. We be repenting at the same time and confessing because of that 1 minute. 1 minute. God will meet you where you are. Look at what the Bible says. John chapter 5 and verse 39, you search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. Most of us think we saved. Salvation is not about you searching the scriptures. It's about you understanding who Jesus is. That's what he was telling those Jews. You Jews have the law. You got all the right answers, but you don't search the scriptures. If you search the scriptures, then you would know who I am, and you would really be saved. The word of God is designed to meet you where you are. That's why David said your word. Amen. What have I done? I've hidden your word where? In my heart. And when the word is in your heart, people, you got something to marinate and meditate on. You don't have time to figure out, you know, what Olivia is up to next on Scandal. Somebody said, how you know about that? I got to get my sermon material from somewhere because the stuff, the biblical examples I'm using ain't touching some of y'all. But if I can sit down with all of your children, as the world turn with one, as the world, now that I have your undivided attention, your word have I lodged. And then in Psalm division 1 and verse 2, David says, I meditate. I find delight. I delight. Do you sit down in your GT and find delight as much as delight as you do when you pull up to Starbucks and you get a double dose of your stuff? Not here, but I've seen people cherish that cup. And they won't share. I've never had anybody share anything from Starbucks with. They don't share. You can't get a sip. They won't give it. They won't even give you a sip. But they got stuff in it. So if we did the word of God like that. David said, I meditate in your law day and night. I find delight. What's the benefit? Because in your law, I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Marinate. Meditate. Let me give you some more. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy 2. And verse 15. And then get 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Is that right?
But women will be saved.
No, that's not it. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. I like that. Read that.
But shun profane and idle babbling. They will increase to more ungodliness.
Okay.
And their message will spread like cancer.
Okay.
Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort.
Look at them. Go and read.
who have strayed concerning the truth.
Notice the ramifications for what? Straying from the truth because they fill their mind with other doctrines that are not found in Scripture. I'm just opposing now what will happen when you're not meditating on the Word of God. You'll give your mind over to other stuff. And as a result of that other stuff, it leads you away from the truth. But what happens if I give myself over to the truth of God's Word? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And this is a familiar Church of Christ passage. The Bible says what? The NIV says, do your best to present yourself. Watch this now. Approved before God. The King James says, study. Yes. Mm-hmm. Study. We've used this passage to attack everybody but ourselves. Oh. Paul is not saying use this passage for them. You use it for yourself.
Yeah.
The only legitimate proof you have to God is how you search Scripture.
That's right.
Search the Scriptures to see whether or not you are approved before who? Before God. Handling what? Handling correctly the Word of God. Whoever comes at you with the Word incorrectly has not proven themselves to God. Let me tell you, correct exegesis, correct hermeneutics is always expressed in correct conversation.
That's right.
Correct language.
That's right.
Correct behavior. And then Paul says all Scripture is what? God breathed. Now look at the text. John 5:39, search the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15, study the Scriptures. And then the Bible says what? That Scripture now is what? God breathed. In other words, the expression of God's love is given through what? His Word. And look what it's profitable. It's beneficial. Well, I ain't getting nothing. I don't get nothing out of sermon. Well, you can't get nothing out because ain't nothing in. And the way in the world a child of God would ever say that about anything God does. Little child comes to me with a Scripture. I'm being blessed.
Yeah.
Little young lady there asked a powerful question on Wednesday night Bible class. I looked 11 years old. Amazing. But I was listening. I thanked her this morning. Insight. Listen, the Word of God, when your spirit's open, will help you. You understand that? Look what the Word of God do. God breathed, and it's what? It's profitable for what? For doctrine. Just a moment. I hear people say, I don't want doctrine. I just want Jesus. You can't have Jesus without the doctrine.
That's right.
Amen. I know we go through Church of Christ, we go through these little phases. You know, where we don't praise, then we do praise, and then praise becomes the God, and then we pass praise, now we worship it now. Amen. And now worship becomes the God. Listen, you cannot replace Jesus with anything. The road to worship starts with Jesus. That starts with the doctrine. The word doctrine there means teaching. Didaskalos. Titus chapter 1, 2 rather, in verse 1, Paul told the young evangelist while on the Isle of Crete, speak the things that becomes sound doctrine. Just a moment. Now we got groups in our brotherhood who've redefined what sound is. They're now walking around perpetrating who's sound and who's not. Well, you're not God.
That's right.
And the Greek word sound there does not line up with your definition of it. It comes from a Greek word which means healthy. What people need is healthy teaching. Do your research. Search the Scriptures. Some of us walking around repeating stuff. We don't even know what they're saying, but we love it. We got sound. Well, if you got sound doctrine, I want you to know it changes behavior.
Absolutely.
How do you know? Well, don't go there, but Titus says now, speak to things that become sound doctrine and start with the old men.
Uh-huh.
Now, why would an old man need healthy teaching? So he can teach young men. Y'all listening?
I'm listening.
I'm talking about we want the Holy Spirit to convict everybody else but us. The church needs healthy teaching.
Yes.
You need healthy teaching.
Amen.
How do you know? Because the stuff in your trunk is junky. The stuff in your trunk is junky. What kind of junk you got in your trunk? Ain't nobody tell me what to do. That's junk. Say amen. That's not a healthy teaching. Amen. And then now you're trying to tell a popo that he'll stop you. I wasn't speeding. Why do you think he stopped you? The sign said 25 in the school zone, you're going 95. And then you have the unmitigated gall to tell him that you wasn't speeding. What should happen? He needs to really lock you up. Because there's something cognitively disconnected. Let me tell you something. We live in a system that's anti-authority. Anti-respect. And it's because where we've been hanging out with our minds. The child of God need to spend time in the Word. Because sound doctrine, healthy teaching, look at this now, produces healthy attitudes. Healthy attitudes, healthy disposition. Healthy disposition, healthy behavior. Say amen. It's not natural to walk around abnormal. That's why we call it abnormality. It's not natural. And your persona displays where you've been hanging out. Look at the Bible. It's profitable for what?
For doctrine.
For reproof. Look at your neighbor and say, you need doctrine.
You need doctrine.
And doctrine is teaching. That's all it is. And you need to be taught. You don't believe me? I just told you. John chapter 6 and verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be. I said, they shall all be. Taught, is that right? And taught by who? Taught by God. He that has what? Heard and learned of the Father. Look at the consequences. Comes to me. I got to quit, but you missed that. Your doctrine is designed to teach you about your God. And when you're taught by your God, you'll come to the Father. And when you come to the Father, you come to worship.
Amen.
And worship is your expression of the goodness and the greatness of God. But if there's been no weekly, daily teaching, you don't bring nothing to the game. You need a cheerleader. You need pom-poms. You need a band. What happens when the music stops? For doctrine. Keep reading, Herbert.
For reproof. Correction.
For correction.
For instruction.
For instruction.
In righteousness.
For reproof.
For correction.
We don't like reproof.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Loving reproof is good.
It's good.
What stops you? Thank God the Holy Spirit gives us the Word. It has kept me from killing my fool self.
Yeah, man.
With sinful behavior that's detrimental and self-destructive. You don't have to run into a Big Mac truck to run into your sick self. Man, just disobedience. Disobedience. Are you listening to me? But we don't like reproof. And then people need correction. Correction is, it's responsible instruction. That's what it is. We thought that discipline and correction was punitive all the time. Well, I grew up in Texas. Most of the correction I got was punitive. But it didn't kill me. Say amen, somebody. I'm still here. Got my behind whooped a number of times. But I'm still standing. Praise God. And I look back now. Thank you for the whooping. Amen. Amen. But so we don't like whoopings. So we got to change the law. Watch this is now. So we're going to appeal to the higher level of the intellect to correct negative behavior. We're going to count to 10. Just listen to that. We're going to count, you know. And look at what we've done.
Wow.
Look, there's disrespect for law, for order, for authority, and it's coming from every last one of us. And because this world has filled our mind with false doctrine, false teaching, it's your life. Well, 1 Corinthians 6, don't go there. The Bible says you've been bought with a price. You You've been purchased. Then we love to talk about the blood when it comes to communion. But long before you get here, you got to understand you've been purchased by the blood of God. Now you are the temple of God. Say amen, somebody. That's healthy teaching. So you don't put anything in God's temple. Amen. How many of you have driving Mercedes? Any people drive Mercedes in there? I got the wrong group. All right. How many of you drive, what y'all drive? I better ask that. What's in the parking lot? Look out in the parking lot. What we got out there? You drive a what? A Lexus? Any Lexuses out there? Any Lexi? That's more than one. I'm coming. Any BMWs? No Beamers? Hey, man, check the collection, man. Any, no Beamers? What you got? Any Camrys out there? Yeah, this is a Honda church. Everybody here drive a Honda? Y'all ought to be in one accord then. Whatever you drive, you don't put anybody's gas in it, do you? Say amen. And I got a 2003 Caddy that was given to me by one of my spiritual dads. So this day, I put the good stuff in there. Say amen. 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 You can't put bad stuff into a good thing and expect it to be better. You got to put the good stuff. You got to put the good stuff in the good people into the kingdom of God. You got to put the good stuff. When you put the good stuff in it and you go to mass on the accelerator, it don't sputter. It don't sputter. One more example, then we're going to get to the Bible. We got to quit. Y'all know I have a horse. I feed my horse good stuff. Alfalfa, she gets alfalfa and Bermuda in the morning. And in the evening, you know, pasture grass. And then I supplement it with alfalfa and Bermuda pellets and a formula called Integrity. It works on her coat and her hooves and her conformation. And then I work her regularly. I ride her and train her. So when I go to get on her and it's time to step on the gas, let me tell you, I don't come in last. I'm always first. And people look at me and say, well, that's a good horse. I put time in it.
That's right.
What you do? I'm out here with it. How'd you get your horse? I'm staying. Yeah. How do you know what's in the Bible? I'm spending time with it. How do you know what God wants? I'm hanging out with him. Say amen. Amen. And then my God expects me to put my foot on the accelerator. What good is the claim to have power when you ain't got nothing in the tank? It's like coming up to the red light, amen, and you got a putt-putt, but you're riding along and you convince yourself it's a racing car. Some of you do that. It's called delusional driving, believing that you're in a BMW and it's a VW. And you pull up and that Camaro or that Mustang pulls up next to side of you, and you know, and you rip, you mass on the accelerator, and you get Then that joker hit them horses over there. And then the light changes. Don't do this now, because you're going to go to jail. That light changes green, and he's gone, and you're still there. Talking about some of your faith is like that. Ain't nothing in the tank. Spirit comes along to convict you, confront you, number one, with the word. And then quickly, number two, did you get number one? He confronts you how?
Word.
Through the word. But you got to get the word in you. Now, let me say this in passing. We want you to get in the word. But somewhere along the line, you got to get the word in you. Because David said, your word have I done what?
Yeah.
I've hid. All right, now, the second thing he does is that he meets you with a person. Go to 1 Samuel. I think I said. Mm-hmm. And it was what? 1 Samuel 13 and verse what?
8.
The Bible says what?
He waited 7 days.
And now this, let me set it up. Saul had just been anointed. This is amazing. Verse 1 of chapter 13, Saul's been anointed king by Samuel.
Right.
Samuel sets a date and tells him a certain time for us to get together.
Right.
And we're going to offer a burnt offering before God.
Right.
Now watch Saul. Saul, in verse 13, the Bible says what?
He waited 7 days.
He waited 7 days.
Time set by Samuel.
That was the appointed time. He waited 7 days, just like Samuel said. But what?
But Samuel didn't come. To Gilgal.
Go and read.
And Saul's men.
They began to scatter. But why? Because they was fighting with the Philistines. Go and read.
So he said what? Bring me the burnt offering.
And the fellowship offering. Bring me the right stuff for worship. Bring me the communion cups. Uh-huh. Bring me the hymn books. Mm. Bring me the microphones.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Bring me all the stuff. But it ain't the right time.
Uh-huh.
Go and read.
Saul offered up the burnt offering. Just as he finished making the offering,
what happened?
Samuel shows up.
Go read.
Saul went out to greet him.
Hey, Saul. Hey, Samuel. I done what you told me to do. Go read.
What have you done?
And how did Samuel know that he had done something wrong? Now, mind you now, he got the word. And the word was to wait. Now, watch this now. It wasn't just what he was offering up. It's how he was doing. Wait till the prophet gets there. Don't run ahead of the prophet. Wait. But look at what he's saying. Look at verse 13. Hurry, quickly.
What have you done?
Ask Samuel.
Saul replied.
What did he say?
When I saw that the men
uh-huh.
were scattered.
All right, got that. Now drop down to verse 13. Hurry,
right.
Son.
You have done a foolish thing.
Look. But wait a minute. I offered the same stuff you told me to offer.
No.
I had to commune. But I forgot my offering, but I had to commune. I sang some songs, but I forgot my offering. Go read.
Yeah, you've done a foolish
thing. What you've done is foolish.
You have not kept the command.
Listen, here's what's important. It's better to be obedient than to offer up sacrifice. Better listen to me. God ain't into public exploits of worship. He's not into public demonstration. God wants obedience. What the Bible says? Saul did what? You did a foolish thing. You did not keep
the commandments
of the Lord. Go on, read.
If you had, you would have established your kingdom.
One version says, Saul said, I thought. You better be careful with what you've been thinking.
Wow.
Isaiah, I don't have time, but Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, Vincent. My ways are not your ways. As a matter of fact, I'm in complete opposition to your thinking and your ways, as is the heaven is from the earth. We're on different pages, and some of us are on different pages with God this morning. I got to quit, but when you're in the kingdom of God, your thinking has been snatched from you because you can't think right. I know you're smart. I know they like you on your job. But they ain't got no more sense than you and me. Trust me. They're trusting in their ability to figure it out. They don't know.
Absolutely.
Today you great, tomorrow you gone. And you thinking about what they said, how great you was yesterday. That was yesterday. Today's a different day.
Yeah.
Better put your trust in God.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit confronts you with the word, so you'll be able to discern between that which is right and that which is wrong. I don't have time, but then there are consequences. Listen, the man just got anointed king, chapter 13, verse 1. He can't get past verse 13, and the kingdom has already been taken away from him. Why? Because he made one little old mistake. No, it's deeper than not offering up the right worship stuff. The boy wasn't obedient. And God took his kingdom. Now, quickly, one more. 2 Samuel 12. And look at verse 1. Quickly.
Then the Lord sent Nathan.
He sent Nathan. 2 points. The Holy Spirit confronts you how? Number one, by the word. And number two, he'll send a person. God sent Samuel to Saul, and now he's sending
Nathan
to David. Check out the two kings. One Saul. One's David, one's heart is open, the other heart is closed. So he sent Nathan. And I don't have time. Nathan tells him a little story about sheep. You know the story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then David tells him in what verse? Verse number 8. What did David say? What did Nathan say to David? He said, you know, after he told him the story about the little ewe lamb, y'all remember that story?
Amen.
How a guy came to town, you know, he needed something to eat, and the guy with all the resources, you know, didn't give from his resources. He went and got the little ewe lamb from another fella, took his ewe lamb, his only little ewe lamb. Book says he used to put him in his chest, in his breast, and he would go to sleep with him. He loved him. But David, the book said the man took that one and killed that one and ate it. And David heard that story, and he was hot. That man ought to be killed. He was just hot. And Nathan said, what?
You the man.
You the man. You the guy. I like the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is in you, you ain't scared. You ain't scared. Well, David, what you think? You think, I don't know. I kind of agree. And some of us are so palatable. I kind of agree with you, David. I don't know. No, that ain't what the prophet said. You the man. You guilty. And watch this now. Watch David. Keep reading.
This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said.
Look. Read.
I anointed you king.
I anointed you king over Israel.
And I delivered you from the hand of Saul.
I delivered you from the hand of Saul.
Uh-huh. I gave your master's house.
I gave you your master's house.
And your master's wives.
Y'all hold on, because some of y'all can't handle this. And then I gave you your master's wives. It was not uncommon. I said in that era.
Yeah.
I said, in that era, Mike, to have a multiplicity of wives.
Uh-huh.
What an era. But that era allowed that. Amen. He said, I gave you your master's wives. Go and read.
I gave you all of Israel and
Judah.
And if all this
and if that wasn't enough, I'd have gave you some more. What kind of God is this that'll do all that for a man? But instead, he didn't listen to the word and listen to our thought and I felt. And Nathan came to him. Drop down to verse 13. We got to go.
David said unto Nathan.
Look what David said. What?
I've sinned against the Lord.
Stop. 1 Samuel 13.
Yeah, man.
Samuel said, I thought. 2 Samuel 1. David says, I've seen. I got to quit. Some of you been thinking too much. And what you need to say is, I have seen. God is a merciful. I'd rather have the Holy Spirit come by my house and confront me. I'd rather be carried by 12, carried by 6, than judged by 12. Because the 12 may not have mercy. Maybe God, I have some mercy. And look what the Bible says. David says, I have sinned.
Against the Lord.
But he didn't stop there. You know, we like to say, I have sinned. But what did David say?
Against the Lord.
I have sinned against the Lord. It doesn't make sense if you don't acknowledge who you sinned against.
Jesus.
David got it. All we know about his adultery, and he knows about yours. Say amen. He knows about your fornication, your pornography, your drug use. He knows about you. Well, I got the wrong question. I know you don't commit none of those sins. He knows about your arrogance, about your stuck-upness. He knows about all of that. Say, man, I know your sins ain't as bad as my sins, and I ain't got as bad as him. He know all about that. But what he wants is a heart. See, the Holy Spirit's on your side. You know, David and Saul both should have been killed. David especially.
Absolutely.
Because according to the law in that era, he was to be stoned.
Yeah.
I got to quit, but he's king of Israel. I don't know why God did that. I'm just glad he did it.
Yeah, amen.
And let me drop this, and I got to quit. He never gave up his throne.
Yeah.
Had he been here, he would never ever do communion here at this church because of what? His sin. But I read somewhere, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. God is a God of a second, third, and fourth chance. Somebody ought to celebrate that. Yeah. I've preached too long, and I guess I've made no sense. But if you're here, and you're not following the word, and you're not listening to people God send to you, I'm going to pray for you, because there are consequences. And this is not the only sin David committed. He committed another one. He numbered Israel because of selfishness. The book says Satan tempted him to number Israel. You don't number what God has set up. God set the armies up. But David needed to know how many were there so he could have pride in it. You know what God did? God sent a plague. Killed over 72,000 of the Israelites. That bothered David. And guess who came to him again? God's given you three choices, David. You can die at the hand of your enemies. You can suffer a plague. Then he gave him a third choice. You can let me deal with you. You know what David says? I would rather have my God deal with me than to have my enemy kill me in the presence of the people of God and show me no mercy.
My Lord.
Let me tell you something. I want the hand of God dealing with Vincent as opposed to the hand of man. Because even in his discipline, he'll show you mercy. You know why? The Holy Spirit loves you. The Holy Spirit is on your side. Now quit making it hard. Bless your hearts. I love you too. I love myself. We make it hard on ourselves because we are just disobedient. We're just not going to do what God, just not going to do what you say. But I'm going to keep coming to your house hoping. God is not in the sacrifice of worship. It's not how many songs we save and how many hands we throw up. It's not how stale and stoic you are. God ain't into that. He got some performers. They performing right now. That's all they do. The cherubim, that art of angels, praise angels all day long. Holy, holy. And when we start singing, we just joining in with them. But be quiet, Lord, we might hear them sing. Because they sung and the doorposts of the temple begin to shudder. Smoke filled the temple. Because the Shekinah glory was there. And then Yahweh spoke. Book said Isaiah 7, I saw that, I knew I was in trouble. Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm getting ready to die. And God says, no, I ain't going to kill you. I didn't kill Saul, I didn't kill David, and I won't kill you. Tell you what I'm going to do. Send my angel over there to the altar and get a hot coal. Flew back over there and put it on his lips. Said, now, boy, you're clean. And once God clean you up, he don't let you off the hook. So some of you got clean, and you didn't go and done your own thing. No, 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 no. Stay in the worship service. God says, now, who shall I send? Who shall I send? Well, Isaiah looked around. The angels were busy. Wasn't about him. But him, guess what he said? Y'all know what he said? I can't hear y'all. I know you don't want God to hear you. Okay. Here am I might be available. No! And let me check my iPad. Let me check with honey. Let me see. That ain't what the prophet said. Hear my Lord. Send me. And he didn't say send them and send him. Send me. Well, that's my little sermon at this morning. That's all I got. For now. Come back next Sunday. Going to deal with your righteousness and mine. The Holy Spirit is going to deal with our righteousness. Got to talk about that. Because some of you sitting right here, and you're just so right, you can't be wrong. And then your favorite line is, me and God got it like that. You ain't that special. You've been drinking that stuff again, ain't you, boy? Some of you need to quit. It would be easy to say he's on dope. I'd like to say he's been smoking something, but I can't. He's just breathing fresh air. It ain't got no sense. So come back next Sunday. If you're here, all we have to offer is Jesus. No gimmicks, no games. You won't get no free prizes from the church. Just Jesus. If he ain't enough, if he ain't legit enough, then we can't help you. You need prayer? Young man, young woman, this is serious business. Because when you leave here, You're going back into the enemy's territory. And some of you are ill-equipped. He got stuff lined up for you. Because he know you haven't been in the Word. But I'm going to be the first to tell you, I ain't looking for no stuff, but I sure am ready. I'm ready. 30 years in the bank. We're going to pray through it. We're going to be obedient. Then we're going to start binding some demons. It's time to fight. But you know, folk won't fight. I got to quit. I ask you to come back to that. I can't fight you over your time to serve your other gods. You would rather go run to your gods than to give God 230 fellowship circle. Well, what's that about? Come see. It's still the Lord's day. Say amen. Well, I got that. See, that ain't what Isaiah said. Send me. I go make sacrifices for your God. Because tomorrow, when the man tell you you done, I bet you run to this God. And be careful now. Study your Bible. Saul got his kingdom taken. David paid for his sin. God forgave him now. But Bathsheba got pregnant. You know who killed that baby? Have you read your Bible? God killed that child. And you and I may stand in righteous indignation, but God is right. Whether I get it or not, God is right.
Amen.
Kill that baby. Say it. Have y'all read that story? God, why you do that? The baby was innocent. Yeah, I get that. But I'm God, son. I did this for a reason. And to this day, I don't get it. But then turn around, bless the same woman with King Solomon. God is merciful. Even in your mess, he'll show you some mercy. So quit robbing him. Quit cheating him. Stop with all the excuses. Man, we got a bunch of weak-kneed members of the body of Christ. No spiritual tenacity at all. We'll make an excuse. What if I did what you did? You would have met a year or two ago and said, he got to go. Give me the chance to fire y'all. Amen. I'd like to be the Donald Trump of the church for just one day. You're fired. Not you. Yeah, well. On your feet. It's really time to quit. Sometimes you got to speak. Got to let the Lord speak. Because you leave here. And this may very well be your last time. Back down home in Texas, they sung an old song. This may be the last time. We're going to sing that right now. And somebody said, he's trying to scare us. Yeah, better me than you to meet somebody out there and you lose your soul. This might be my last sermon. I got that, but we're going out preaching. Say amen. Amen. We're going out preaching. We ain't going to be scared. And we're going to confess sin and do the right thing. But it's serious business. We're in a war with the devil, and the members of the church are asleep. Can't fight that way. So this may be the last time. This may be the last time. This may be the last time. I don't know. You know that song?
I know it, but a little bit different.
All right. Well, thank you.
This may.